Amen. Please be seated. And if you have your Bible or Bible app with you, I invite you to pull it out and join me in John chapter 3. We're going to be in John 3, 22 to 36 today. We are continuing in our series through the Gospel of John, focused upon the life and ministry of Jesus, the one who came not to condemn, but to rescue us because of his great love for each of us. I'll begin reading now in John chapter 3 and verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Ainon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it's now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our opportunity to be gathered together and worship today. We thank you for your presence here with us, and we pray that what we are offering to you in our songs, in our prayers, in the celebration of communion in just a few moments, and also in our attention given to your word, that all of this is bringing you the glory you deserve. We're so thankful for the gift of Scripture, specifically the gift of the book of John and the stories it tells of Jesus and his earthly ministry. In these next few minutes, as we focus on this text, I pray you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal, and give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are dealing this morning with the concept of humility. Humility has been defined as a modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance or rank. And this passage today presents us with the question of our own importance in comparison to God and in comparison to others. As our text opens today in verses 22 to 24, the baptizing continues. But let's back up just a few events and remind ourselves how we got to this place. John the Baptist began his ministry of baptizing, and when Jesus presented himself to John, he baptized Jesus. He calls Jesus God's chosen one, shines light on Jesus so clearly and so powerfully that John's own disciples leave him and start following after Jesus. Then there was the temple court incident, where Jesus overturned the tables because he was upset that they had turned an area for worship into a marketplace. Next, Nicodemus visits Jesus at night, and they have an insightful theological conversation where Jesus reminds Nicodemus that we all need to be born again in order to experience the salvation that he brings. Now, there are two groups of people baptizing as we enter into our story today. Jesus and his disciples head into the Judean countryside, we're told, where they baptize. Though interestingly, in chapter 4, verse 2, we're going to read that it was Jesus' disciples baptizing, not him specifically. John and his disciples head to a different place, to Ainon near Salim, which means place of springs. John just tells us there was a lot of water there. So it was a great place to baptize people. And a whole crowd of people were still being baptized by John and his disciples as well. Both of these groups were offering the same baptism of repentance that John had been offering originally. We don't see evidence in the Gospel of John until chapter 7 of a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is still to come. Right now, this is a way for people to repent of their sins and declare their need of a Savior. Now, John, our gospel writer, wants to make sure we know that all of this happened before John was arrested. And this is kind of fun because it's the human side of a gospel writer. There's really no need for John to clarify that. We've already been told that John the Baptist is out baptizing at this time. But what John is doing is he's pointing out that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all have the events out of order, at least in his opinion. They have John already imprisoned at this point before Jesus begins baptizing, and John's just making a small point with us that he's got the timeline correct. A little competition is highlighted for us in verses 25 to 30. However, Jesus and John, the two who are apparently competing with each other, are completely unaware. It's John's disciples who are irritated by the way everything is taking place. Verse 25 tells us that some kind of theological argument had arisen regarding baptism and Jewish cleansing, and they saw their chance to finally complain to John about what was going on. Essentially, they say, you know that guy you endorsed a while back? Now everyone's going to him instead. Can't you just hear the jealousy in their voices as they make this complaint to John? They had enjoyed the popularity that came with following after John and the crowds that came and the chance that they had to participate in that baptism. And now they've become jealous because so many of those people are going to Jesus instead. But John's response is great. He says a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Essentially, God has given me gifts and a calling, and that's all I have. The same is true of Jesus. And I'm not going to compete. I won't compete with Jesus. I won't compete with anyone. How refreshing is that? You don't hear any ego in his response. His response displays the essence of humility. No pride, no sense of needing to highlight his achievements. Just a recognition of what he has been called to by God and what Jesus has been called to by God. When we can find that same satisfaction with our own gifts and our own call, it will set us free in the same way. As human beings, we're wired for this comparison game, aren't we? Always looking at someone nearby and trying to decide how we measure up. Are they doing better than us? Are they doing worse than us? It starts as children where we're looking on other people's papers in class and trying to compare how all those things stack together. It's just part of the human condition. And yet here we're being shown that we can set ourselves free if we can embrace who we are and what God has called us to do without being concerned with what's happening with everyone around us. There's a freedom that is being held before us. Theologian James Montgomery Boyce says this, "Whatever the results of our efforts, we will see God's hand in them and will not be jealous of another through whom God apparently achieves more." We find a measure of peace as we embrace what God has called us uniquely to without comparing with anyone else. Verse 29 introduces the beautiful imagery of the bridegroom and his best man. It draws on Old Testament imagery, and it reminds us that Jesus is center stage. He is the bridegroom. This is his wedding, not John's. And John says, "I rejoice when I hear his voice. That joy is mine, and it's now complete." How about us? Are we okay with second place? Are we okay with second place? There's a slide that's supposed to come up right now. I'm waiting for. Do you guys remember this young lady? You remember her from the 2012 Olympics, Michaela Maroney? She was the one who got the silver medal in the gymnastics vault, remember? She was a phenomenal athlete, and she did receive a gold medal along with the rest of the team, but on this occasion, she got that silver medal, and she stood in front of the world during the medal ceremony with this look on her face, with that little grimace off to the side that she simply could not control. And I thought it was so beautiful because it was so transparent. We've all been in that place. And she learned to embrace this because she had become infamous for it to start with, and then it became this popular meme, and anywhere you look her up now, she'll have this look on her face. But I love the picture it shows of what can happen inside of us when we get lost in the comparison game. For us as followers of Jesus, we always know that we're going to be second. We always know that we are less than him. We always know that we've been called to serve even as he served as an example for us. And so hearing and seeing what John the Baptist does here is so inspiring and so instructive for each of us. John says, he must become greater, I must become less. The final section of our passage today in verses 31 to 36, John the Baptist has stopped talking at this point, and once again, John the gospel writer is going to give us a bit of a theological epilogue. He wants to kind of explain what it is that we are seeing in that section with the supremacy of the Son. He has a few additional thoughts here. He contrasts John the Baptist, or really any of us who are from the earth, with Jesus, who is from above, who is from heaven, who has been sent to us here on the earth. We have human teaching and human understanding, but Jesus brings divine revelation, a word from God. Verses 34 and 35 give us a sense of Jesus' supremacy and power. John says, God gave Jesus the Spirit without limit. We have the Spirit, but not in the same sense the Spirit without limit that Jesus contained. He also says the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands, in the hands of his one and only Son. One commentator said of this section, recognizing this relieves us of the burden of trying to be God ourselves so we can be ourselves. Far from competing to be number one, embracing the calling that we've received, our own unique giftedness and our own unique role in this world, in our families, in our workplace, in our church, it's an invitation to rest. It's an invitation to joy, an invitation to contentment as we are finally free to be entirely ourselves. And so I want to challenge us this week to spend some time in this passage. I want to challenge us to use the questions that are on our bulletin and dig deeper into what exactly is happening here and turn the focus on ourselves and ask the questions. Are we in a competition with others? Are we lifting ourselves up when God is calling us to have a different perspective, to perhaps be inspired by John the Baptist and what he has to say? And I have a couple other questions I want to leave you with here today. First of all, have we submitted ourselves to Jesus as John did, recognizing that he is supreme, seeing him not just as someone inspirational who lived in the past, but someone who is to be our guide day in and day out in the world that we live in today? Secondly, are we committed to anything or anyone more than we are to Jesus? This includes ideologies, it includes politics, it includes money, it includes all of these other powers in the world. Have we allowed Jesus to be supreme so that we then become lesser and find ourselves who we were really created to be in the way we live day to day? Questions to consider this week, and let me pray for us as we commit ourselves to doing that. Lord God, we give you thanks once again for the inspiration of Scripture. We give you thanks for the human beings that we see in this text today, the jealousy that comes forth, the temptation to play comparison games, and yet the beautiful inspiration of John the Baptist, fully at peace, recognizing his season and his role as he serves you. Help each of us to find the same. Help each of us to dig into this text this week and guide us by your Spirit that we can determine who uniquely you have made us to be and who uniquely you have called us to be and how uniquely you have asked us to lead and to serve and to work in this world as we follow after you. Help us to find peace in discovering that, a peace in knowing that you have made us in this unique way. And we will only find peace as we serve you in that way. I commit all these things to you now and pray all these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.